All right, Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter number 2. And this message I titled, Being Used in a Land of Captivity. Amen. And we have Ezekiel. We hopefully are somewhat familiar with this time frame. If not, this would be just into the captivity of the southern kingdom, which was Judah. There was 3 installments taken over. This would be like sometime after the second, like about 5 years after the second. If you study out that first chapter, you'll find it's like 5 years after Jehoiachin came into captivity, which would have been the second installment. And so they've been there a little while. Ezekiel's there amongst the people. So Ezekiel's the prophet for God in Babylon, amongst the common folk. Daniel was a prophet for God, like in the governmental structure. And you have Jeremiah, who was a prophet, still back in Jerusalem. And so different ones, different places, but Ezekiel was there. And in chapter 2, it's God calling Ezekiel to this ministry and giving him I want to say encouragement, but more, he was giving him a charge. And it's just really amazing. So we're going to read the whole chapter here, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And then from there, just go through. I want to give you a number of points on how we're going to first look at it in its historical context. Like I just mentioned, this was what was going on. And then kind of draw application to some things in reference to the day that we live today and how we could apply this to our lives. So in Ezekiel 2, verse 1, it says, And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. And they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they will, and they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Their briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And they shall speak my words, I'm sorry, and thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you for this text of Scripture. Thank you for this setting, God, that Ezekiel is recorded here preaching in and trying to reach his own people. And God, I pray that you'd encourage us with this message. And reading through there, it looks like just a lot of rebellion, a lot of hard-heartedness and all that. But Lord, what a blessing, God, that you sent your man to reach them, God. You didn't just leave him in that place, God. You desired that they would receive your word. You desired that they would no longer be rebellious, that they would no longer be hard-hearted, stiff-hearted, as it was called. Lord, you desired that they would be in such a place that they could be released from captivity and go back to the land of which we know did happen. And so we thank you for that, God. We know that your plan is always perfect. Your ways are right. And though at times some things do seem difficult, things that we go through, things that we need to go through, lessons that we need to learn, sometimes we just need called out. We just need to repent. But Lord, through it all, you always have our best interest in mind, God. You always operate in such a way that, God, you want us to be helped and helped along, especially towards salvation, and then as a child of God, to such a place that we could be usable by thee. God, help us now through this message. Might you be glorified through it. And we'll thank you, God, for what you do through this in Jesus' name. Amen. So just kind of gave a little context there. First off, in reference to the Babylonian captivity, it is the southern kingdom, which would have been 2 tribes, would have been Judah and Benjamin. And they were warned. Israel, of course, went into captivity 721 BC, a little earlier, 10 tribes. They never did right. And then the southern kingdom, they ended up going, it began around 606 BC and lasted until about 586, the full kind of bringing all those in, and they would have been released in 536 BC to go back to their land under the proclamation of Cyrus, king of Persia at that time. And we find that that God's people, though they had been in captivity a little bit of time by this, probably some 20-some years, would have already been, it's the first installment. I say installment because it happened in three waves. And so it happened, that first group there in 606, and then it would happen right around 600, a little after, and then another group, 586. And so there's actually three waves of people that were led captive from Jerusalem, from Judea, that area. But this would have been a post-second installment, from what I understand. And so they've been there. Some of them have been there quite a while. And you can tell by the reading that they still were playing that victim card. They were still saying, basically, that they were there and it wasn't their fault, right? That's kind of why God now sent the man of God to get our attention. You know, when God tries to get his children's attention, the first way is typically just as we read and study our Bibles, right? As we get into the Word ourselves, God is going to take those words and try to speak to us through those, right? That's why it's important for us to engage in daily Bible study, daily Bible reading, or you know, spending time in prayer, meditating, talking to God, letting him talk to us. Prayer, a lot of times, us talking to God, but there ought to be times in your prayer life that you're not speaking. Amen. Amen? If all you are is speaking, then you're not listening. Amen? That quiet time with God. Amen? And so praying, say, I just can't pray for now because I run out of things to pray. You don't got to be the one speaking all the time. Amen? Just sit there and be still and know that he is God. Amen? Just be quiet. Just meditate upon the word of God and just let God just speak to you, amen, in your prayer time. So it's not just you. It's okay, by the way, to have your Bible open when you pray. Amen? Amen? Have your Bible open. Maybe say, I don't know what to pray. That's fine. Just, I don't know. I like it in here. Amen? That's kind of where I go, sometimes in my office, different places, but you can bow down before the Lord with your Bible open, and say, I don't know what to say. Well, then just start reading. Amen? And then through that, I guarantee you, you're going to have a lot to pray for. God's going to reveal things to you. And then, anyway, so don't be so one-dimensional in your prayer life where you feel like it's you know, synonymous with what you do before you eat. Amen. And that's good. You should thank God before eating all that. And that's typically us offering up that sacrifice of praise to God, right? That we should do. We should acknowledge that. I've always wanted my children to know before we eat that we're thanking God for this meal. Amen. You say, well, I don't need to do that. You might not, but your family needs it. Because we get busy and we forget. We need to be reminded, amen, reminded of where the blessings flow from. Say, I know, but they don't know how to wait. They want to dig in before we eat. I don't know why we're talking about this, but we're just sorry, amen. They just want to dig in before we, you need to discipline them to wait. If you don't create discipline in your children, then they will never be disciplined. Listen, there's a lot of people in their 20s and 30s that didn't learn discipline. Look where they're at today. Amen. So we're going to use things like that all the time, teaching discipline, all the time, getting ourselves ready where we can act and be who we need to be in the right time. Amen. And that's part of it. Prayer. That's why a lot of people have a hard time with prayer, is because, man, that's like a waste of time for me. Well, not for me. See what I'm saying? It's something that's needed. Amen. We appear before the Lord and we're present and let God speak to us. Anyway, this is what we see Ezekiel doing here, and God is speaking to him, and God is going to use him, amen? Get used to being able to be in this state here, amen? Like we see Ezekiel, amen? And we see this in Ezekiel 2, and this is beautiful, amen? Ezekiel will be given a message by God to preach to his people. This is not a different people. This is his people. These are the people that he has been raised with. It's his own countrymen, amen? And he is going to be called to show them their sin and draw attention to why they're in captivity in the first place. Who wants to hear that? Amen? And this is what he's going to be called to. And there's a specific reason for this. They will never be ready to get out of captivity unless they can first receive the reason why they're in captivity. They have to come to grips with what's going on. They have to be honest with the situation, honest with themselves, honest with why God did this in the first place unto them. And God's going to use Ezekiel to do that. We don't, by the way, as Christians, we don't, fights and situations are not mine to be involved in. I'm not called to, sometimes I am called to be involved. Amen. And when we're called to be involved in something, it's because something's needed there to help people progress towards a place that they can be where God wants them to be. Amen. And that's, you have to be able to discern that, because if you get involved when you're not supposed to be involved, it's gonna get bad. It's gonna be ugly. But if God's called you to be involved, then you need to be willing. And this is where Ezekiel is. I'm sure Ezekiel really didn't want to step up to this one. They're in a foreign land. They're in an odd place. He's in captivity with him. The man of God, who was not doing anything wrong, is stuck in captivity because as a nation they've done wrong. Maybe not he individually, but as a nation, amen. There are certain things that we're going to go through as a country because our country has done wrong. And we're going to have to endure, whether you've done wrong or not, we're all in some things, we're in this together, amen. Other ways we're not, but in the context, what we see here, he's with them, amen. So from the context, let's go ahead and try to draw some application for us today. Christians who are walking with God today, I believe we're kind of likened unto this prophet here, the prophet Ezekiel, walking with God, you're engaged with God, you're looking unto him, you're communicating in prayer, you're studying his word, you've got some relationship established as Ezekiel did with God, amen. And so that's why I would say that the Christian for our standpoint would be likened unto Ezekiel in our text. Now, others in our families and towns and nation, they're likened unto Israel, who have turned their back on God and are worshiping everything but God. Do you know anybody like that? Maybe in your families, maybe in your town, maybe in our city, our state, our government structure, maybe in your workplace, maybe anywhere. This is where we live. We know of people like that. And hopefully, if this is you, you're amongst those that may be called to reach you, if that's where you're at. But you can find yourself in this passage, maybe in that of what an Ezekiel was going to go through, or maybe the ones that Ezekiel then would have to go and talk to. Amen? And then there's the captivity. And they were in a foreign land. They were in captivity, but they were in bondage. They were actually in bondage in a land, but they were also in bondage to sin. And sin had gripped them. They were doing a lot that they shouldn't have done. And can I say today that there's a whole lot of people in bondage to sin. And I'm sure even in this own room there are people that are struggling with certain sins and in bondage to it and don't know how to get out. And that's a problem, amen, because God has revealed to us. And if we can't take the scriptures and see them and minister in our own lives where we can find victory, then we're not going to be able to help others be able to have that victory. And so people today are in bondage to sin. It's evident. Discontent is very, very widespread today with everything. Amen. People are not content with anything today. If you think about it, people think that if they just had more money, they would be better off. What that means is they're not content with what they have right now. Now, it's okay to have goals and strive for this, that, and the other. But if in your mind you think, I am limited, I am hindered today based on money, that's a wrong thought. Because we need to learn, Paul, he said he had learned that whatsoever state he was, therewith to be content. Whatsoever state. Wherever you're at right now, as a child of God, if you're born again, right where you're at, you have everything you need to serve God today as God would have you to serve him. You have everything you need. You have everything you need to be taken care of today as God intends. You have everything you need. And if we get stuck in this American discontent mindset, we're going to begin to think stuff like this. You know, I'm too young to serve the Lord. No, you're not. If you're born again, you're the perfect age to serve the Lord. We're to serve the Lord in the days of our youth, amen. No matter what your age, if you're aged, you say, I don't know why I'm still here. I do. If you're a Christian, there's a reason you're still here. Amen. Don't be upset because you're aging. Hello, we're all aging. Anybody here not aging? Amen. I think we're all stuck in that one. Amen. We're all growing older a little bit every day. Amen. And every day we get to just take a little incremental step towards the day that we pass off the earth as we know it. Amen. Which is fine. Amen. But sometimes people get discontented because they don't like the age they are now. Well, I don't know what to tell you except that God wants you to be content in all things. He wants you to be okay with that. So we can't be used by God if we're discontented. Oh, I just don't like the place that I live. Why not? What's it matter what spot of dirt you live on earth? It's all dirt. It's just a place, by the way, that other people are. Amen. Other people that God will, if you have the right heart, will enable you maybe to be a help to somebody. And by the way, if you become a help to somebody, that's the best thing for a discontented heart anyway. Amen. Serving the Lord, helping others. Amen. And so some people today think that, man, if I could just change my gender, I'd be happy. They're literally thinking that. And then they're being encouraged to go for it. And there's doctors and different ones, I guess you call them that will help them and do some slicing and dicing and taking this hormone treatment and that, so that they can kind of move that way, not completely, but get towards that end. It's a sad day we live. This isn't just, hey, I don't like my name, I'm going to get my name changed. This is, I don't like my gender, I'm seeking a gender change. That's a problem, amen. That is discontent, amen, at its highest. Some think today, if I could just change my spouse, it would all be better. Right? We're getting a little closer to home, aren't we? It's not just about gender. You're no different than the one wanting to change his gender or her gender if you're not content with anything. It's the same sin. Discontent's discontent. We can get all upset about that, those that want to change their gender. But if you are not content, by the way, they were in captivity and God called them to be content. Amen. And there's a whole lot of people around our world in a whole lot worse off place than we are. And God calls them to be content. Amen. And so we want to be very careful here, because this is the people that Ezekiel had to go speak to. Some people say, if I could just change my living condition, if I could just have a house that I own, if I could maybe move to a new town or a new state or a new country, it'd be better. That's discontent. We want to be very careful. Say, is it wrong to be moved only by God? By the way, you should never make those types of decisions when you're in discontent. Because when you're discontented, you're in sin. And we don't hear God real clearly when we're not content. Amen? You'll be apt to listen to the enemy and you think it be God. You're easily deceived when you're not content. I am too. That's what the devil wants to do, is move us away from God a little bit and then start giving us those really good ideas from his perspective. And it sounds good, and we act upon them, and it's like, why'd my whole world come crumbling? I thought this was going to be better. Amen. But it's not, because we can't make those decisions when we're discontented. Amen. If I could just change my job, it'd be better. Maybe if it's the will of God, you should change your job. But if it's because you're not happy, you should just go ahead and get happy in that job. How can I get happy? Man, they treat me horribly. You should be okay with that. Why do you feel like you have to be treated well? Why do you feel like you deserve to be treated like your king or queen? When did you become royalty? When did you become the most important person, important person on earth? When? When did you become more important than your boss? When did you become more important than your... When? You see, we're not. And when we're not content, it says we have a pride issue because we think we should have it better. One of the popular things for us to say is, man, I have a whole lot better than I deserve. Do you believe that? But by the grace of God, I mean, I deserve to be in hell tonight. Anything better than hell is good, right? Do we believe that? Then stop complaining. Amen. That was the problem with the people in Israel. They complained. They didn't believe that they deserved to be there. But you know what? From God's perspective, they were exactly where they needed to be. And they weren't getting it. Maybe if I try this drug or that drug, it'd be better. Hey, a lot of people in our world think that. Well, I can't operate without that drug. God's not enough. Holy Spirit's not enough. Alcohol, God's not enough. You need alcohol now? You need some drug to help you? Why don't you ditch the drug and cry out to God? Amen. We're called to be content with what we have. Amen. If I just need some entertainment, I just need to amuse myself a little bit. And at times, there's a time to be able to rest and relax. I get it. But our main need for life is not entertainment. Amen. There's a book that John G. read a while back called Amusing Ourselves to Death. I think some lady wrote it. Amen. And amusing ourselves to death. Does that not describe our culture? Do you know that there are children, teenagers, 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds, 70-year-olds, and all the way up, that their main entertainment is video games all the time. They live in an ultra reality. Amusement? Why don't you ditch the games and do something with your life, amen? Well, this is a good popular message, amen. I had to take games off my phone. Say, why? I was playing them. That's why. I had to get rid of them. And that wasn't a lot. But here and there, you know. Say, well, why was that a problem? I got a whole lot of more important things to do, amen. Like, how about just pray? Well, anyway, maybe I need a new church, one that doesn't care how I live or where I go, or a church that likes CCM or other versions of the Bible. Maybe I'll just get one of them more relaxed ones where they don't wear them. I mean, I don't like these either, amen. Don't wear them ties, wear those nice T-shirts, and some have jackets and all that, skinny jeans for the sodomite crowd. I mean, skinny jeans for whoever wears those, amen. Maybe you're in a church that's just preaching truth and you just need to listen. Actually, Micah shared something, a video with me from, I don't know the guy's name now, but on CCM. And, it's convicting. It's convicting. And it showed, yeah.
What is CCM?
Christian Contemporary Music.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, Christian, amen, amen. I'll examine your music files later to see if you have any on there, so you'll know. Amen. CCM. This guy actually connects it with that seducing spirit. And he shows on there how CCM is the doorway to that seducing spirit that pulls you away from God. Like one of those just got in my throat, amen. Pulls you away from God. And it's true. And it's powerful, amen, powerful. So while we're not in physical captivity as Israel was in Babylon, our country is in a spiritual bondage that is just as real as what Israel was experiencing. Do you see that? And if we don't recognize that, then we're not going to be able to be in a position like Ezekiel was in, who was in a great position for God to use to help his own people. Don't you want to help our people? I mean, I don't want to just complain about the condition of our people. That's easy to do. But how many times we find ourselves complaining about the condition, but then we really aren't engaged in such a way where we are actually trying to help pull people out as God sees it. Amen? So let's look at our text very quickly. Ezekiel 2. Let's notice here what God gave Ezekiel to do to help Israel come to grips with reality so that they could ultimately experience freedom from their life of bondage. If you were in a situation like Israel was, in a foreign land in bondage, of course you would want to get out, be freed. Can I say if you're in a spiritual bondage, you should also want to be, you should be just as interested in being freed from that too. Amen? And God's really good at pointing out when we are in that bondage. And I praise the Lord that there's help, there's hope, and there's a means for us to be freed from things like I mentioned earlier, even our own being discontent, our own content issues. I'm glad that there is freedom from those things. Now, first in this, I think I wrote down, we're not going to really turn to many other scriptures. I'm just going to give you these. I wrote down 11 things that I noticed in this text. Number one, the Son, it said, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. Christians need to be in a stable, upright position for God to speak to us a message of help and deliverance. If we ourselves are not stable, if we are not standing, that's what Ephesians 6 told us to do, was to stand strong in the power of his might. If we're not able to stand in the power of God, then we are not going to be able to help anybody, amen, from our unstable position. So stand upon your feet. Actually, the Spirit there didn't actually helped him to stand. Number two, the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me. Amen, that's what it says here. So we must stand by faith in Christ. And then the Spirit of God, we must be freed up internally spiritually so that the Spirit can have free course to work through us. We need not have the Spirit hindered. We don't want to quench the Spirit of God. We need to be in tune with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. The Spirit of God is not ours to boss around. The Spirit's there to boss us around. Say that again. We don't direct the Spirit. The Spirit directs us. Does that make sense? We want to walk after the Spirit. We want to walk in faith means that the Spirit of God is able to direct us by his word, by God's word. That's what he does. The Spirit knows nothing of himself. What the Father, what the Son has said, that's what he then brings forth. This is how God works. The Spirit of God flows through us to bring forth the word of God in our lives so that then we walk as God would have us to walk. Amen. And that's what we see, number two, that the Spirit entered unto him when he spake unto me. Number three, it says, I send thee to the children of Israel. To be a help to those around us, we have to be sent by God. A desire to help is not enough. You have to wait for God to send. And while waiting for the call, we should just be faithful to God. And then God will begin to open our eyes. He will begin to open our senses to those that are needy around us. I'd like to say that I can help every person on earth. And ultimately, that is our call, to reach every person on earth. Amen. But directly, my call is more finite than that. My call is to, as the Holy Spirit directs to the Word of God, my call is to reach out to those that God leads me to reach out to. And you know as well as I, if you're out and about, God, he connects you with people. He directs you to people. He just does. Amen. And we need to wait for that, know that, and allow God to move in that way. Ezekiel was sent to the children of Israel as a whole, but then was directed to certain ones, which we will see maybe after a bit. Number four, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day, for they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them. By the way, it's easy to look for receptive people to minister to. Mike, I was talking to them about preaching at the mission last night. Some of them didn't seem all that receptive, it sounds like, amen? But that's okay, amen? We go, we speak, we preach to those that God tells us to. And it's amazing, you know, you hear about these different ones. I mean, even Mikey came back and talked about those in Papua New Guinea, about how receptive they are, about how interested they are in hearing. And that's a blessing. That is wonderful, amen? And all these different ones, these different places, like even Botswana over there, Brother Haley's over there, talking about how receptive and all that. That's great. Praise God for that. We got to be very careful that we don't get discontented with the very people that God has put us in the midst of. God may at some point call us unto a group like that. He may. But until then, we just need to be engaged in speaking to and preaching to those that are around us. I'll tell you, the challenge of our day is all these different languages now that are in our midst. That's a challenge. And I don't think Google Translate's going to cut it. Amen? It's just not. Man, my heart goes out to some of these groups. Oh, that some of our people would get called to some of these different people groups and languages on our own soil. Amen? We need that. So I want to be a missionary to whatever, the Burmese. You don't got to go anywhere to be a missionary to the Burmese today. You're here, and so are they. But that's not as, glamorous. You'll know when you study the Word of God that God's not really into that glamour thing, amen. Just not. So we shouldn't be either. We should just be obedient, amen. And so he sent Ezekiel unto those that were his people that he was in the midst of. Oh, that we would see that that is our primary responsibility. So we should not look for an easier people to reach. We should seek to reach those that you are already in the midst of. And can I say that God is up for a challenge? Amen. If you will pick up that challenge and you'll cry out to God over it, God will enable you to reach a people that are unreachable. To do this, you have to be honest with the condition of those around you. And in this context with Ezekiel, he was in the midst of his own people, and God said they were rebellious. You know what rebellious means? It means they withstand authority. It means they work against authority. Can I say, the United States of America is a rebellious nation now. I mean, the whole thing is rebellious. Everybody's against authority now. Amen? And that's a problem. But God's up for the challenge. A stiff-hearted people. That means to have a hard heart towards God and others. To be kind of without affection, without natural affection anymore. Their heart is calloused. It's hard. Boy, we sure live there. Amen? How about impudent? That means to be a rough, a stubborn, and cruel people. Man, we're there. Transgressing means to go against the very Bible that they know. They transgress the Word of God. They know they're doing wrong, and they're okay doing it. Think about the average Christian that's okay going against what they know to be right by the very Word of God. Say, what are you saying? I'm saying we need to stop that. We need to be a people. To him that knoweth do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Amen? We need to be people that walk by faith, live by faith. And that's just not a cliche. Faith in what? Faith in the Word of God. Not just people. I was asking somebody that last week about faith. And I was like, faith in what? They said, well, faithful to Jesus. Amen. What do you mean? What's that mean? What's that mean to be faithful to Jesus? It means to be faithful to the Word. Jesus was made flesh, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This is Jesus right here. I'm in Word. This is the Jesus right here we're to be faithful to. People say, I just need to be faithful to Jesus, and they concoct their own idea of who Jesus is. There is no Jesus outside this book. There is no Jesus we serve outside the pages, the words of this book. You see, we're supposed to prove all things, hold fast that which is good. If your Jesus is not as described in the Word of God, you go to people and say, do you go to church? Nah, I don't have any use.